This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Have you noticed, Mahoney, that Sylvia is, like, there's a lot of color going on with her these last couple of days? Mm-hmm. Is this like a springtime thing? What?
I'm kind of excited for spring this year.
Is that what it is?
Normally, yes. You're wearing black every day.
It's black on black, but these last couple of days, you've been dressed like an Easter egg.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's just different.
Is there something going on in your life that you need to tell us about?
No, there's nothing going on.
Has spring sprung, if you will?
Uh-huh. No, I wanted to incorporate some colors because spring is here. And yeah. Let's be really colorful now.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Hot pink today is the color
loud.
Of choice.
I know, it's very loud.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear pink in all the time that I've known you.
I don't think I've worn pink.
That's
Holy
why
moly.
It's throwing me off. I've never seen you wear...
I've worn more pink than you.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's a good color on me. I prefer salmon.
Oh, dude.
Oh, salmon.
Also, by the way, completely off topic. Did you guys see that like viral thread on Twitter about fish sequencing?
No.
And there was like these scientists, people who can gene sequence and see what the kind of fish it really is. And they got fish from sushi places, restaurants... All the fish that you're eating...
It's all catfish, right?
It's none of it's... None of it's the same.
Really?
It's none of it what it actually is. And then there was one fish that was... they couldn't even sequence it. It was so weird. But the closest thing they could find to it was body lice.
Huh.
And so, yeah. So the fish that they're telling you that you're eating, unless you catch that yourself, you're buying it from a store and you're seeing
sushi.
It straight up. Yeah.
Huh.
I know you eat a lot of fish.
Yeah, no, I love sushi, so thanks for ruining my day.
Think about it.
I mean, it still tastes good.
Whatever, as long as it still tastes good. I mean, body lice is fantastic.
Yeah. Just give me a tapeworm, I'll lose some weight.
Give me a little tapeworm and some soy sauce, I'm happy.
Okay.
That's all
I need. Some eel sauce on it.
Yeah, a little wasabi on that body lice. Mmm.
Hell yeah.
Which eel sauce, why does eel sauce make every... Like, eel are one of the ugliest... Like, this is bad for eel, because they are one of the ugliest fish in... out there
that have ever been created.
Yes.
Well, they look
yes.
like they're telling a bad joke and they're like,
ever since a Little Mermaid, we've all hated the eels.
Yes.
Right?
I know, they're bad.
And you're ugly and you taste good? That's a bad,
it's a bad combination.
Cool, combo.
That's a bad combination for survival.
Yeah. Well, some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
How about some bad news, Dave?
Police responded to a 911 call on Thursday morning from the Kids on the Move Learning Center in Stafford, Virginia. When officers arrived, they found a woman named Heaven Connor standing inside with a fork in each hand.
Okay.
Connor told authorities that she should not be taken into custody because she's the daycare owner's wife.
Okay.
One of the daycare owner center employees arrived early for her shift and turned on the lights. That's when she saw the suspect standing there naked in one of the classrooms.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Thankfully, none of the children had arrived yet.
Oh, thank goodness.
And then the naked woman with a fork in each hand fired the worker because... the woman was trespassing. It remains unclear exactly how the naked woman entered the daycare center or where she got the forks. Not clear if she was intoxicated at the time, according to police. She is currently being held and has been charged with unauthorized entry and indecent exposure. As it turns out, she is not the owner's wife. But she broke in to a daycare center, got naked, grabbed a fork in each hand, and then proceeded to fire anyone that showed up.
Did those people get to collect unemployment?
Unemployment? Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't really like this job. You can't take that back.
Yeah. No take backs.
Also, forks.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like out of most utensils, a fork would be the one I want to hold the least when I'm naked.
Yeah,
because you might drop it.
Outside of, you know, a sharp knife, I think a fork is also second on the list for things that I would least like to be stabbed with. Because multiple puncture wounds.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I think a knife's cleaner.
No, you think the fork is worse.
Yeah, because it's harder to jam in there.
Ah.
And then you can drag it.
Yeah, and you get, multiple puncture points in there. I would prefer to probably, if it was like one of those sharp, like sometimes when you cut yourself with a sharp, really sharp knife, you don't even notice it for a second. Like a fork, you jam a fork into your thumb, you're definitely feeling that.
Nah, I mean, I've got pretty sensitive skin, I think. I think I would realize pretty quickly if I'd been stabbed by somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, you need to sharpen your knives, sir. Can't have you not seen those infomercials where they can just slice a pineapple straight in half?
Watermelon. Yeah.
You're like, I don't need a knife that sharp ever.
I could slice 15 water bottles in half, a pineapple, and then julienne fries, and then get the thinnest piece of tomato. Which, why anybody would want a piece of tomato that thin?
You don't need tomato that thin, and you also don't even be able to hack a Daewoo in half with one swipe. All right, just. You can maybe go
calm down.
Well, that would be pretty cool, actually. Hey, you're in my parking spot.
Sorry,
Caitlin. Well, some good news today as well. A guy from Minnesota named Derek Berge was here in Vegas last week and got hammered. He went out to Planet Hollywood, and he drank so much that he blacked out. He was still up at about 7 a.m. because, hell
right.
Yeah.
This is a good story.
And he wanted to do some gambling.
Okay.
So, of course he did. He pulled out $100 and put together a parlay. So, here are some of the different bets that he made. He placed two different bets on a huge underdog to beat the favorite in the NCAA hockey tournament.
Okay.
He bet they'd win and then placed another bet on the fact that the combined score would be 6 goals or less, which is pretty low.
Okay.
He also bet that the Minnesota Timberwolves, because again, he's from Minnesota, would beat the Golden State Warriors. Very unlikely. He then picked the Minnesota Wild home team to beat the Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL. All four bets had to hit or he'd lose his $100.
He parlayed all four of those against each other?
All four against each other.
What did hit? Well, I mean, a four-leg parlay. Because if he bet the hockey game, the NCAA to win and So five-part parlay.
It said it was a four-leg parlay. So maybe the story's a little off as to like if he bet both in both those circumstances.
People don't really know that much about betting.
That could be it as well. Either way, right after he placed the bet, he went back to the Holiday Inn where he was staying.
Yeah. Oh.
Passed out, missed all of the games.
Where is even a Holiday Inn down near the strip? Anybody?
Hold on, Ian's saying, there is one.
Oh, there is definitely one. Yeah, right near the strip, actually. Right by T-Mobile, actually, on the other side of the highway.
Okay.
Yeah. On the other side of the highway.
Yeah, the other side. It's a walk. It's a hike.
Okay.
Well, he woke up, didn't even remember placing the bet, and then he found out he won over $26,000.
Oh, my God.
To
which point, the Hollywood said, you son of a bitch. This is the biggest parlay we've ever paid out. We hate you.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to give you my top three list of douchebags. In a random order, first you have guys who think cologne is an all-day, everyday situation. Second, you have atomic bomb, mushroom cloud blowing vape smokers. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a hint. Yeah. You don't look cool and you're not impressing anybody. And three, I don't think we give these people enough credit for being douchebags. It's when you're walking in high traffic areas like the airport and just out of nowhere, they just stop.
Oh,
move
yeah.
aside, douchebag. Mm-hmm. Let me know which one of these offends you the most and did I leave anybody off the list?
Message deleted.
I would say the king douche out of those three douches is definitely the guy who's sucking on a carburetor to blow the mushroom-sized cloud vapes indoors.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to smell like that blueberry
smoke. Even when you're driving down the road and somebody's in their car and they just huff like this enormous cloud out the window, you're like, hey, man. Stop it.
Again, you are doing that to get attention.
Yeah.
Like, because you can vape just fine. Like, because there are people who have quit smoking because of vape.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use the little jewel thing and, you know, it's just a...
The little pen or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And it's a normal amount of smoke. We were walking out of the fights. Oh, you weren't with me this weekend when we were calling the fights, but I was walking out alone and there was some douchebag walking out of there blowing giant mushroom cloud smoke rings from his vape pen while we were on an escalator. So it's like they're coming straight up.
There's no way to get around it.
No.
And it's like, you know, all that has just been inside of your body and now you're just
blasting. And I can see the outside of your body and it looks awful.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the inside of your body looks just as bad. I'm curious, though, about the first one. He said, because cologne's not a everyday experience.
An all-day, everyday experience.
I mean, I put on cologne all day, every morning.
Is he talking about like doing it like every single moment he has?
People put on way too much.
Oh, is that what he means?
And there's also a difference between cologne and like the guy who always has the industrial sized can of Axe body spray with him.
Yeah.
You're like, hey man, like you don't really smell that good, and also it's not necessary to smell that good for you because no one's paying attention.
How many pumps of your cologne do you use?
Traditionally four.
Four? Mm-hmm. Ian, what about you?
Do you have a set number, Ian?
I, you know what? I do, but I have a lot of odor to mask, so I go six.
You go six?
I go six. Oh, two on the wrist, two on the neck, and then I two up in the air I walk through.
Oh, you
and
do two in the
you
air.
You do the thing where you like walk around quickly and you start to gather it all up. You're like, ah!
I hold it over my back.
Oh, you do?
I do whoa. Each side of the neck.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Chest.
Okay.
Back, and then occasionally.
Why your back?
Yeah.
Who's smelling your...
Because if they walk up behind you...
Never mind.
Yeah.
Who's done that to you?
Get them from all angles, man.
You got somebody smelling your back.
Yeah.
No, it's like the back of your neck.
I see.
You want that's the area... I would say that's the erogenous zone, because that's like right where my fiance's like nose is like right in that area.
Oh, so it's for your fiance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or... tall passing strangers that may accidentally bump into him when he stops in the middle of the airport.
But just like bump into
while
his
I'm
neck.
Vaping. Yeah. I stop in the middle of the airport while I'm vaping.
Gotta suck on this carburetor. Hold on.
Please leave a message.
I always knew I was attracted to Optimus Prime.
Good morning. I'm wondering, could any of you survive on $1 a day for a month? People always talk about how they can stretch their cash. But, you know, I don't believe it.
Message deleted.
What are you talking about? Who can survive on $1 a day?
There are these things out there. I've seen a couple people that we know, a couple PR people have tried the living like under the line of poverty. You know, like what you would get if you were on welfare. And it's, I mean, I could, if I didn't have to pay my rent, sure. Like maybe I would just buy a whole bunch of ramen. I would buy as much ramen as I could for $30. I've been in a situation similar when I was younger, but not like only $1. I could do it if I had to. I don't want to.
Maybe.
But I mean, how much is a pack of ramen? 30 cents?
Yeah.
So it's still like 35 cents.
Yeah.
So you're just going to eat one of those
for like,
breakfast,
I'd
lunch, and dinner?
Like two of those. Two of them. I mix it up. Occasionally, I'll have a chicken, beef broth. When I want to feel fancy, I'll throw in a shrimp one.
The shrimp one. Who likes the shrimp one?
I don't know.
Oh, who did that?
Well, they have there's a spicy seafood one that's actually not too bad.
Okay. All right.
I mean, there's no real seafood in there.
I know. Do I want fake seafood? Like, what? Where did you figure out that you had a powder that tastes like shrimp?
He gets, like, those mini shrimps in there.
Those little turds.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Black. I'm going to pass. I mean, Godspeed to you if you're able to pull off the challenge, if that's a thing.
I would never want to do it.
I already did that in college where I was, you know, trying to make every single penny.
Go to McDonald's and get a billion hamburgers.
Load it up on the hamburgers and freeze them. And then
you couldn't do that now.
No, it's... No, I don't want to do that now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take any... I don't think that I would feel accomplished if I did that.
The vast majority of my money that I blow... Uh-huh. Is on food. Like the extra money, like I don't have a lot of vices, but the vast majority of all my extra money goes towards food.
You don't have a lot of vices?
What? I don't. I got a couple real strong ones, Dave. I don't have a lot.
A lot of them. Okay.
I got strong ones. I don't have a lot of them.
It's more pillars instead of columns.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's really they're big verticals. Uh-huh. They're big verticals.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I got this guy named Pat in my office. I don't like him. He talks way too much. You know those people who come to you for conversation at the worst time and then they refuse to stop talking to you, so you just kind of have to nudge them away? I think I'm going to blow up on him one of these days.
Message deleted.
The worst is when you are trying to leave someone's office and they keep talking to bring you back in as you've like turned your back to walk out the door.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man. I've given you the international sign of I'm done with this conversation.
Have you ever had to just slowly back away?
Yes.
And then just kind of like start to disappear around the corner?
See you later.
See ya.
All right. Bye.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Every day with Bossy Rock.
Every single day, man.
Cool. Tell us more about Tom Brady.
All right.
Please.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So if you make $300,000 a year in San Francisco, which
in San Francisco,
a lot of money.
I mean, $300,000 a year anywhere you would think would be, you should probably be doing pretty well for yourself, right?
Not in San Francisco, with the median home price in the U.S. Being at $300,000, you can achieve home ownership and live, you know, a great middle class to upper middle class lifestyle in most parts of the country. In San Francisco, you can buy a fixer-upper for about $2 million.
Oh, God.
So there's a San Francisco-based finance expert that said the number is $300,000. If you're living in San Fran, you're making $300,000. You are still living paycheck to paycheck.
God, that is unbelievable.
$24,000 a year in child care expenses, babysitting rate of about $20 an hour, preschool costs $18,000 to $20,000 a year, mortgage is based on a $1.5 million, 1,700 square foot, three bedroom, two bathroom home on a 2,500 square foot lot.
That's a small lot.
That's a really small lot.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about like what that is, if you get paid every other Friday, you get paid every other week, 26 times a year, pre-tax, that's $11,538 per paycheck coming in every 2 weeks. So, I mean, realistically, knock about 40% of that.
Yeah.
But still, post-tax dollars, you're still in that $6,000 to $8,000 range.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks, and you are living paycheck to paycheck.
But you're paying like mostly for the weather and right, like
no, not in San Francisco.
San Francisco, it's always cold.
If you're in LA, sure.
Okay. Mark Twain said the coldest winter that he ever experienced was a summer in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's
funny.
It is funny. I can't imagine.
San Francisco's fine. Like it's nice. Like you go to Napa. Like it's beautiful up there. Sure. All those things. But I mean, is it really that great where you're willing to make $300,000 and you can't save money? He said that these couples that he analyzed, they would be able to save a standard amount of money in like their 401k.
Yes.
And that's it. Otherwise, you're living paycheck to paycheck. And he said his recommendation is to make moving out of the region a goal. He said, do you want to be more successful financially? You have to leave.
I mean, if you were making $300,000 living in Las Vegas, living in St. Louis, living in Phoenix, Utah, any of these places, you're living a great life.
Yeah.
Hands down. But what, I mean, the fact that like you're making $300,000 a year, what are you, like, there aren't that many jobs out there that you can make $300,000 a year doing.
That used to be reserved for like surgeons.
Yes. Yeah. The average income in America is what, $50,000? Yeah. So you're literally making six times that and you're still unable to save money?
Yeah. That's brutal.
It.
Just brutal. So it's a new day. That means we have a new Conor McGregor is a douchebag story.
What did he do this time?
I mean, literally, it's like every day. An alleged event took place on Saturday with an unidentified male victim saying that McGregor punched him after a verbal exchange in a suburb of Dublin.
So this isn't the story of him breaking that dude's phone?
No, completely different story. No, yeah, he got arrested for that weeks ago.
Okay.
This is totally different.
Okay.
And this is over in Dublin, which you'd think where Conor McGregor would be virtually untouchable. Not the case. The state police force said that they have confirmed that they're investigating an alleged assault that took place at the Marble Arch pub, which I'm sure is lovely. Various sources have confirmed that the man in question was thought to be McGregor, the most recognizable sports figure in modern Irish history. Some reports say that McGregor was showing off. Another source said that somebody shouted to McGregor that Russian beat your ass or something along those lines. Yeah. And so he melted down and supposedly physically assaulted
somebody. Khabib is not Russian. Isn't he like Uzbekistani?
Yeah, but I mean, in that area.
I'm just saying, if you're going to throw stuff out there like that, be a little bit more specific.
You can't get it wrong, right? I mean, Russia, very proprietary, as I'm sure Uzbekistan also is.
Vladimir Putin.
Do we think, when it's all said and done, who ends up being the overall bigger douchebag, Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor?
And Conor McGregor is giving him a run for the money.
That's what I'm going to say.
Conor McGregor's never done anything. I mean, there are those like assault charges when it came to a female over in Dublin, which are just allegations right now. If that proves to be true, that changes things. But Floyd Mayweather beating up his baby mama in front of their kids.
Yeah.
He's still King Douche. Yeah. I mean, they're all on the Mount Rushmore of sports figure douchebags, but he is the George Washington.
Conor McGregor's like slowly.
He's creeping up on him.
Did you know about Mount Rushmore? They were supposed to like build out all of their bodies.
Really?
Yeah, but they just got the heads done and then they ran out of money. And then they just kind of stopped. Whatever.
Good enough.
I mean, you could recognize them.
I mean, was one of them much shorter than the others?
I mean, Abe Lincoln was—he's
pretty tall guy.
Yeah. I mean,
George Washington could not have been that tall, right?
No,
I think so. Washington was 6'1".
Oh, really?
I think so.
But Lincoln was like way taller.
Is he real 6'1", or is he like Tom Cruise 6'1"?
I don't know. They didn't have Wikipedia back then.
I know, right?
Mornings on X 107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Here, Mahoney.
Cover your ears.
Jeremy is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Jeremy? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. So this game is pretty simple. If you're a big alternative fan, which I assume that you are.
I'd say so, yeah.
Good. So the way that it works is we've got three different songs for you that are all very popular alternative tunes, but they don't necessarily sound like the original because, you know, the song Cover Your Ears, they're cover songs, and they're done by, we'll call them interesting performers from the internet. Ian spends a lot of time every week going through, combing through, sometimes like the deep, dark web where you'll find videos that only have a couple of views. Like, these people have spent a lot of time recording these songs and uploading them, and no one's really appreciating them until now.
I think collectively these three
interpretive artists.
Yes, yes, very interpretive. But between the three videos today, I think collectively they have about 120 views.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
So big stars.
We'll add about seven more listens to that with this radio show.
Yes.
All right, so again, I'll play each one for you. Each clip is about 30 seconds. Just let the full 30 seconds play out and then make your guess. If you get the artist and the song, it's a full point. One or the other will be a half point. You're looking for two out of the three, okay?
Cool. Let's all right, do it.
Here we go. That's 30 seconds right there. Music, obviously, is pretty much right in tune.
Is that French?
Is that language? French?
That was German.
That was German.
German.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. A little nicer than the German I know.
All right. What do you got for us, Jeremy?
I'm assuming that was the Killers with Mr. Bright Eyes. Mr. Brightside.
There you go. Right. Or Mr. Bright Eyes, whatever.
Yeah. Close enough. That wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It's just singing was terrible.
We've heard worse.
Let's see if number two can somehow be worse. But a full point there for you, Jeremy, on number one. You can actually win it right here with another full point. Let's see how you do.
Mama said, in a little prophecy, there's some regret. In a legacy, that is our destinies. Back in the days, we wanted everything. Wanted everything. Mama said, in a little prophecy, there's history. Fusion and victories. Every day, we wanted everything. Wanted everything. And don't give up. It's a little complicated. All tied up. No more love.
Young man, the a cappella choice. Gold. That was a young man, right?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. How old do you think he was? Like,
I would say about 11.
11 years old?
11? Okay.
Not too bad. All right. Not too bad.
No,
bright future for you.
You can win it right here if you can name that artist and song.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the acoustic version of High Hopes by Panic at the Disco.
There you go.
Wow. Down.
That's pretty good.
What part of it was pretty good?
No, the fact that
he got it. Good job, Jeremy.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
You know, I don't know why those damn police have to be investigating stuff so hard. If I tell you how things are, you ought to believe me, right?
Yeah.
That's what one man thought. And,
oh, God.
And the police,
they didn't believe him?
They didn't believe him. So this takes back a couple of weeks to March 24th of this year. According to the report, officers arrived at the scene at about 11 a.m., and the poor victim, his name is Joshua Scott, he told officers that his friend had struck him in the face and stole his 2011 Nissan Sentra.
My Sentra!
Not my Sentra. Not my 2011 Nissan Sentra, you son of a bitch.
That is my pride and joy. That thing gets 38 miles per gallon.
You know I love that navy blue 2011 Nissan Sentra.
I put spinners on it.
Oh, spinners.
It's got a plush fabric interior, you bastard.
I mean, you have to be a real son of a bitch to punch somebody in their face and steal an 8-year-old Nissan Sentra. You got to be a real bastard. I feel so bad for Joshua, whatever his last name is.
Yeah, well, Joshua Scott. Yeah. Well, on April 2nd, the cops showed back up to discuss the investigation and the report, and that's when he provided another statement.
Okay.
And investigators said, well, that's strange. There's some inconsistencies with what you told us last time. He's like, oh, you wrote all that down? They confronted him with the evidence and determined that the report was indeed fabricated. And that's when Scott admitted that he had reported the carjacking to cover up the fact that he had indeed given his 2011 navy blue Nissan Sentra to a friend in exchange for meth. He's been charged with false reporting.
I don't know who got the worst deal there.
The person that got the meth or the person that got the Nissan Sentra?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. So this is a strange story. A Florida Keys man bought an $8 million island off Key West this month.
An $8 million island? Yeah. Was Nick Hexum?
And was arrested after police say that he schemed to rip off Kmart of $300 in home goods.
So he had $8 million to buy an island.
Yeah.
But was ripping off Kmart for $300.
Yeah, he couldn't do that. Too expensive, man.
So this guy, whose name is Andrew Francis Lippi, he's 59 years old, was arrested on a felony charge of grand theft of $300 to under $5,000 because the stuff that he was stealing from Kmart was valued at $300.59. Ah.
Oh,
just shouldn't have, 59 cents above that threshold.
Shouldn't have thrown that baby Ruth in there.
Here's what he was doing. And this guy also owns the MTV house where they shot The Real World in the 17th season.
So why is he ripping off Kmart?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Get rich by spending money, guys.
The items that he stole were a Keurig coffee maker, a Hamilton Beach coffee maker, which I haven't heard of that. Is that like a fancier version of the Keurig?
Hamilton Beach is like...
That's like one of the old school...
Yeah, just a normal pot. Okay. Nothing fancy about that.
8 light bulbs and a bed skirt. And then, according to the police report, he bought all the items and then returned the original boxes with other crap packed inside to rip off Kmart. And Kmart's like, man, you son of a bitch, you know we can't afford $300 in return goods. We're driving a 2011 blue Nissan Sentra with a fabric interior.
Would you like some meth for this? So, did they say why he was doing this?
No, it's just, you don't know. It's just strange, but he busted for fraud, so, you know, gets arrested for it.
That is so strange.
Yeah. This is also strange, and also from Florida. Largo Police Department detectives are investigating after a Good Samaritan found a man lying in the road and tried to help him, but then wound up shooting him. All right. So let's unpack a little bit here.
How does that chain of events unfold?
Investigators talked to witnesses who say they saw a pedestrian lying in the road, assumed he'd been hit by a car.
Uh-huh.
And while trying to help the pedestrian, bystanders urged him to stay down, wait for medical assistance. They'd phoned the ambulance to come help him out. The pedestrian collected his belongings and just began walking away from the scene. And they followed him to try to make sure he was okay. And the guy who was previously laying in the road got frustrated. And so he whipped out a box cutter and started charging at the guys who were trying to help him. At which point, one of the Good Samaritans calmly pulled out the gun that he was carrying and shot him in the leg. Yep, and the pedestrian was transported to the medical facility where he underwent surgery for the gunshot wound. Police are still investigating because it just seems so strange all this went down.
Should have just been on the floor. Just don't get up.
Yeah.
Don't bring a box cutter to a gunfight.
Guess what? You're laying on the ground waiting for the ambulance now, aren't you?
God, what? I mean, can you imagine?
No, what? Florida is so awesome.
You see a guy get hit by a car. He's laying in the ground.
You run over to help him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want your damn help. Nope. Gathers his belongings, which I can only imagine are scattered around the road. Mm-hmm. There's an extra dirty T-shirt and a bottle of Diet Mountain Dew for whatever reason.
Always a bottle of Diet Mountain Dew that you don't know if it's actually a bottle of Diet Mountain Dew or urine.
Is it urine? I don't know what's in that bottle, but either way, I don't want any part of it.
Okay.
He gets up, scampers away, and then charges you with a box cutter. You're like, what is happening? I was just trying to help. And finally, also coming to us from Florida, in a roundabout way, this is a flight that was taking off from Orlando, is headed to Newark on March 27th. A woman who was hammered on this Spirit Airlines flight flashed fellow passengers when she was asked to power down her cell phone before takeoff. First off, can we stop with the whole having to turn off our cell phones before takeoff? We all know that's garbage.
I get that we need to put our laptops in an area
if there's turbulence or whatever, and a laptop goes flying, it's going to hurt somebody.
You get hit in the head with a MacBook.
Yeah,
that's going to hurt.
That's going to hurt. But she was mad because she was told to power down her cell phone. And that's when she decided to bend over in the aisle, whip out her ass, and start twerking.
I'm not even mad at this.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to pay for that on Spirit.
Yeah, no, normally that's an extra charge, right?
They went down the aisle after that.
They started collecting money.
We're going to need an extra $10 from everybody, guys.
At the end of the clip, the woman grabs her items from the overhead bin and walks off the plane as cheers erupt in the cabin, and we have audio. Here we go.
I'm proud of you, trash. You got to love it. Yeah, come find me. Rules something! Rules something! Nothing! You're a asshole, man!
Oh.
Oh.
You know, my mother makes more motherfucking money than you.
I don't know what's
going on. Yeah, record all your
Why is it that everyone that's on a Spirit Airlines flight sounds like they're in a group of people that are standing out in an alleyway about to yell "World Star"?
I mean,
like,
what's happening? Dave, it's a Spirit Airlines flight.
Buy me then
to Newark. That says it all.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X 107.5.
Or flight attendants like, God, this is the last time I'm doing this route from Florida to New Jersey.
It's like taking a...
She could twerk, though.
Yeah, man.
It's like taking a Greyhound to Stockton. She had moves, though. She had moves. Yeah. I hadn't even met her.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty laundry.
So when Ian goes out and talks to people, random individuals that he encounters at these laundromats around town, it's always interesting, you know, the different swath of characters that he'll run into. I mean, it was just earlier this week that you were talking to a 64-year-old named Bob who was sitting in a Saab smoking a joint. In this case,
smoking with Bob in a Saab?
Yeah.
It's poetry.
In this case, it was a much younger man who was at a different point in his life. He wasn't a former hobo who's traveled the world playing his music.
No.
He was a young man that was playing something different. He was playing the field a little bit.
Very true. But also maybe on the route to Bob, because remember, he was sitting outside the bar laundromat with a paper bag with a Miller High Life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, he just wanted to have himself a little bit of a drink.
It's not Steel Reserve. Don't... He's living that high life, man.
He hasn't hit rock bottom just yet.
It was the champagne of beers, sir. Well, in this case, this young man told a fascinating story about how he had an encounter with a young lady, which when you're, you know, 20 years old, I'm sure isn't that uncommon.
Of course.
But what made this one special is that he also encountered the mom, and not in the sexy way that you sometimes see in videos on the internet.
No, this was the lioness of the pride, and she definitely went after him.
Here is Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry.
I met a good friend, and he's telling me something happened to him yesterday. Now, obviously, this is Dirty Laundry because this happened just yesterday, and you weren't able to tell anybody. So am I the first person you're telling?
The second person, because I had to run to somebody's house first. And, like, I ran to the homie's crib because I spent the night at, like, female friend house, whatever. I spent the night at her house, and she told me it was cool. Like, she 18, she told me it's cool. Her parents don't be tripping off that shit. Like, her mom comes home like in the morning or whatever and gets to flipping out when she see a black dude like in the crib walking around in the kitchen or whatever. Like, she tripped, she flipped out, man.
Were you making pancakes or something?
I was making cheese eggs.
Breakfast of champions, if cheese I may. Eggs. How'd you link up with this 18-year-old?
We just gonna say Facebook. She was like an eight and a half, like, real pretty girl, man. Like, the that she do, like, you really gotta watch some type of females like that, cause, like, you wouldn't expect them to do that. They're really pretty. They got roofs over their head and stuff. They don't got nothing to really worry about. But, man, like, she finessed the hell out of me. Her mom don't play that.
So you go over to her house under the guise that, again, parents are gone. And she said, hey, spend the night. And you said, okay?
Yeah. Like, who wouldn't? You wouldn't?
Was this your first ever encounter with her? Or did you guys do, like, a dinner beforehand?
We kicked it or whatever. But it's, like, our first, like, real encounter, man.
All right, so mom comes home in the morning. You're making cheese eggs.
Like, her mom came home, like, I guess a little earlier than, like, what she expected it. And, like, her mom flipped. I seen it on her face when, like, the damn door thing started to jiggle. I seen it on her face. She lied to me.
What happened after that? Did you even get to introduce yourself, or did you just book it out the back door?
I mean, yeah, I said my name or whatever, but, like, she wasn't trying to hear none of that. But she came for me. I had to run out the house. Like, her mom crazy as hell. Man, I was thinking, like, I really have to run up out of there, man. Like, her mom ain't no little lady neither. She big as hell. And big lady move that fast, it scares the out you. Big person move that fast, period. It scares you. Like, she ain't little. Her ass was, it's like, I don't know if you ever seen Mama, the movie Mama, but she was like, she floated across the living room, yo. Somebody that size should not be able to move like that. It scared the
You know what? I know a couple of people, especially our co-host, Sylvia. You know what? I'll link you guys up, maybe. You guys
can... Hey, I don't discriminate. I don't discriminate at all.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I don't understand why this guy was upset, though. Like, you stayed the night. We assume things happen.
Stuff happened, yeah.
Because his cheese eggs, he had just made them.
He never ate them.
And she's going to come barreling across the room without... I mean, I've already cooked them up.
Calling it a day, man.
Like, let me have them in cheese eggs. I just want to talk to you. Instead, you're floating across the room me like a Led Zeppelin ready to crash on my ass.
Whatever. You know, things happened. The deed was done. You should be happy in general.
You think the mom and the daughter ate the cheese eggs?
Yes.
Oh, it would have been a waste if they threw it out.
Yeah.
Finessed them. They finessed them.
Would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So tonight is a big night for the Las Vegas Aviators. The new ballpark is opening. Are you excited, Mahoney? I know that you're a big baseball fan.
I mean, the park looks amazing. It's exciting to have a brand new stadium. And, you know, there's a lot of buzz around it.
A little bit too much to start here. So first, you know, 7:05 tonight is the opening of the ballpark and the game and all that stuff is getting underway. My wife yesterday was like, hey, should we go to the opening night? And I'm like, maybe, you know, sure. And then I looked at the tickets, and I guess they sold out, like, instantly for the opening night.
Oh, okay.
And now people are reselling them for, like, Golden Knights prices.
Really?
So I'm like, I'm not going to pay $300 for
AAA baseball.
No.
I'll just wait a couple of weeks, and then we can go out there.
I just wish the thing that everything looks so amazing. My only complaint is, why would you just, that logo is so bad.
Oh, who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
The 51's logo used to suck worse than this one.
No, man.
It did. The 51's logo was good.
It was awesome, and plus the mascot was
They
really
kept
rad.
The dumb mascot.
Did they? Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah, he's sticking around. But it's I don't care. If you've got this new team, and you like the Golden Knights did a great job, like the branding for the Golden Knights, you look at it. Like, iconic instantly.
You complained about that when they showed up, too. You said they should call them the Silver Knights because we're the Silver State.
We should call them the Silver Knights.
Okay, see, you complained about it then, too. I'm just saying, it takes a little while to get used to a new logo and a new team and all that stuff. Who cares?
The logo's bad.
Oh, really? Is it going to ruin all of the Las Vegas Aviator shirts that you were planning on buying?
I'm not going to buy one now. I would have bought a hat.
You would have bought a hat.
Yeah. They have just, like, the LV. The LV one.
Yeah, the LV one looks good.
Yeah, but the actual,
like, a bumblebee.
It does.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to argue with you on that. It kind of looks like a bumblebee. But either way, you know, tonight is the opening night. And they're saying, you know, some people were complaining because it's still going to be an open air stadium in Las Vegas in the summer. Being in Summerlin, though, it's about 1,000 feet higher as far as elevation, which means it's about 10 degrees cooler than it would be at, say, Cashman. And also they have mesh seats. And that's actually the big deal. Those I guess, are like 68 degrees cooler.
Oh, nice.
They're just like plastic seats. So that will actually probably help quite a bit.
Because, like, if you watched a game in July, your ass was burned.
You had to sit underneath
under the misters.
Under
the misters. That's the only way I would go see a game back then.
But they're saying, you know, it should bring a whole bunch of money to that area. Yep. They have free parking out there, which is great. But it's right by Red Rock, and it's right by downtown Summerlin and everything else.
So you can go
else,
eat somewhere in downtown Summerlin beforehand.
I'm excited. It's just another great feature to the city of Las Vegas.
We bet on this. We bet on AAA baseball.
You know,
I don't know if I've ever seen.
I don't.
Because if we could do that, that would make it exponentially more exciting.
Because we need something else to bet on.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Yeah. Don't have enough opportunities to bet on things.
It's always more exciting when money is on the line.
Speaking of last night, did you guys watch the national championship game?
What a ridiculous
Another
game.
Another crazy game that came down to the last second, goes into overtime.
Like the perfect way to end this whole season, you know?
And
this tournament.
And especially after the way that things went getting into this tournament.
Yep.
I mean, arguably two of the greatest games ever in the Final Four, and then the championship game also fantastic. Here's how I'll round it out.
Final seconds playing out. End of a fabulous tournament. Rebound into the hands of Hunter. And Virginia with the all-time turnaround title.
Can I just... So, Jim Nance, with the all-time turnaround title, and then he's just like, I'm going to lay out for 30 seconds while this marching band goes absolutely ham.
Turnaround title.
Yeah, Yeah, man. Let the band do their thing. They are going buck wild. At what point does he go, what a game. Wow.
Nope.
Anything. What's happening?
Man, he's tired. He did golf and a Final Four in the same day.
And the Masters kicking off this week, too. Jim Nantz is a busy tired. Guy. Yeah, he's tired guy. But it was a fun game. But the real story was there was a guy that bought a ticket on the Red Raiders, Texas Tech, to win the entire
$1,500.
Thing. He spent $1,500 on it if they had won last night. And it came down to like the last second where there was literally
could have gone either way.
A second left, and the Texas Tech Raiders player jumps up, shoots a jumper, and it's blocked by Virginia Tech to send it into overtime. If that guy had made that basket, his ticket would have paid him $300,000.
And he did not hedge that bet. He could have walked away with $125,000 guaranteed.
Instead, he lost $1,500.
Yeah,
dang. Oh,
that is.
But what a story, you know? What a story.
Do you do you frame that ticket?
Yeah.
No.
The moment my life could have changed and didn't.
It was so close.
The moment I could have paid off my house and didn't. So the Arts District in downtown. I know that you're a big fan, and you spend a lot of time down there. One of the big problems that they're having down there is that there's a lot of businesses that have popped up that are doing really well, and a lot of people like frequenting those businesses, but there's just not enough places to park. So there's about 150 street spots in total down there, which isn't nearly enough, and the situation has created another problem where a lot of these businesses are actually leasing these dirt lots and turning them into makeshift parking lots because there's not enough places for people to put their cars. And as a result, the city is now upset because they didn't okay that. And I'm like, well, what does that matter? Like, if they're leasing this parking lot,
it has to be zoned. It has to be zoned for something,
I guess. But like, come up with a solution. Don't just point out a problem.
Well, yeah.
City.
Well, the solution is you pay the city more money, Dave. That's always the solution to any sort of problem. Yeah.
Well,
there's a problem. The fix is give them their cut.
I mean, I guess, but business owners are looking for.
You guess.
They're already paying their taxes.
No,
like, what do you mean?
But like, you act like that's not what the problem is.
Well, it's a shakedown, but like, again.
Of course it is.
It's a shakedown. Come up with a solution for me and then shake me down. Don't just sit here and run off all my customers.
Whatever.
No, but that's exactly what they're doing. On Friday nights, you really cannot find parking. I park in Jim the Birdman's, like, dirt lot. And now I'm afraid that I'm going to get towed.
Especially for, like, First Friday, too.
Oh, it's
insane.
Why don't you just have Jim the Birdman sit on the hood of your car?
Because I like the hood of my car.
Yeah. So the business owners down there are trying to incentivize people to take Ubers and Lyfts so that way they can try to alleviate the problem.
I'm not surprised there. Yeah. I mean, parking's always going to be a problem in quote-unquote urban areas. You know, so it's any city. This is just something now that people are actually going down to the Arts District again. You know, this is a good problem to have.
And finally, tomorrow night, back at it with the Vegas Golden Knights.
We are Vegas strong.
And just like last year, it's the San Jose Sharks. Last year, we swept them, and they have been pissed ever since. They have been talking trash on social media since the day that wrapped up.
You know what? You could talk all the trash you want, and I feel like we've gotten all that losing out of our system.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the last little sweep of games there wasn't great.
Yeah, but Marc-Andre Fleury hopefully is nice and rested up now. And but it all gets underway tomorrow night, the Vegas Golden Knights. What a great week of sports, man. National championship game last night. I mean, the Aviators Park opening tonight.
NHL playoffs kick off
tomorrow, and then Thursday, the Masters.
It's busy, man.
Good week.
We need more stuff to bet on.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hot take here. I don't believe that rugs should go on carpets. It's too much fabric. Just won't work. I can't see any situation where that would be okay. And if the carpet's that dirty, just go get a new carpet. Fight me about it. I dare you.
Message deleted.
I don't disagree with that, man.
No, my wife. Oh, yeah. Rugs on carpets all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just loves doing that. Rugs on floors, sure. Rugs on carpets, it never works.
It's too much. He's right. It's too much fabric.
And when you put anything if like a corner of a couch is on it, then it all bubbles up. And it just doesn't work,
You know what it's like? It's like wearing two pairs of boxer shorts.
Why would you wear two pairs of pants? You don't need to wear two pairs of pants.
I only need one thing covering the rug.
You can't even tell that there's two pairs of pants on. You just look like you have one dumb pair of pants on.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
I hope you're listening, honey. It's a bad idea.
Please leave a message after the tone.
3 days. 3 days, David Mahoney, Sylvia, and Ian. My cash register's accessibility feature has been down for 3 days. Now POS for the sale is POS a piece of shit. I'm mad like a baby dragon.
Message deleted.
That's Ivan the Blind Mexican.
Oh, my God.
He owns a coffee house at the family courthouse, and his cash register has been down for 3 days, which makes him mad like a baby dragon.
I didn't realize that baby dragons were angry. I would think that baby dragons, if anything, were happy. If
like, they weren't anything because they're babies.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just sit there and hang out on your shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only when you chain it up in a dungeon that it becomes very angry.
Yeah.
Don't chain them up in the dungeon.
Also, like, poor guy, like he's blind and he's trying to figure out a broken cash register. Like, how frustrating is that? I wonder if he's just accidentally giving money to people.
Oh, God.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, if you had to eat a steak, yes, eat one steak, which one do you think would taste the best? You know, I'm gonna have to say Maine, because they got all those lobsters and hot. Damn, I do love me some lobster.
Message deleted.
No,
man. Maine's one of the ends. Yeah, you know, it's gonna get overcooked.
It's the heel of the loaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's easily Montana.
I would 100% say the same thing.
Because, really? I mean, they actually have a delicious sandwich called the Big Montana.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, California.
Arby's hasn't produced the Big Montana in many years, but it will never die in our hearts.
No, it'll always live on. Every time I go there, I'm like, what? When did they take that off the menu?
Now it's
7 years
now,
ago.
Now it's just what? a large roast beef sandwich.
No, I want the Big Montana.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Give me that roast beef.
You're like, can you double the beef on the large? They're like, God, you're fat. Leave.
KXTEFM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, don'tbebroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative. X107.5.
Better question, what's the worst tasting state?
Oh, it's got to be like Louisiana.
No, Louisiana would be great.
Alabama?
Be, that Cajun spices?
Arkansas. Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Felicity Huffman just totally owned it, right? Like, with all the stuff with her and her daughter and the college tuition scandal, she just came out and said, I have let everyone down. I am so sorry. I want to apologize then, and especially I want to apologize to the students who work hard every day to go to college, to their parents who make tremendous sacrifices to support their children and do so honestly. She said that she felt like she betrayed her own daughter. And Lori Loughlin and her husband are working, I guess, on a plea deal right now to enter that. But they're talking about locking these people up for years.
This is insane.
So Felicity Huffman specifically, they're saying charges could bring 20 years in prison. Obviously, she's not going to serve 20 years in
prison. There's people who murder people who get out faster than that.
20 years is too much.
And a maximum fine of $250,000. But the next step is the plea hearing, which has yet to be set, but she is going to be sentenced at that time. And they're talking about, realistically, some legal experts are saying maybe 2 years in prison. Same thing for Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo. It's kind of nuts to me.
What does that do? Make these people pay a very, very high fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Make them donate. Make them do community service. Make them improve the world. Putting them behind bars for 2 years for literally a victimless crime is insanity to me. Yeah. Who are they hurting?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like, the whole thing with Jussie Smollett, like, walking on what he did. Like, what's more damaging to society?
Trying to get people to hate each other? Like, pitting sides?
Intentionally lying to sow hate? Or...
Well, and on top of that, being willing to throw people completely under the bus who did not commit a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they found two guys who were persons of interest, yep, those were him. You knew good and well that you were going to put innocent people behind bars if you would have testified. That's garbage.
So that's compared to the college scandal.
The college scandal, these people need to have penalties for their actions, without a doubt. So you don't do this again. But jail time, jail in prison should be reserved for people who are a threat to society.
Like, this is almost like them going after the Johns or whatever in that thing with Robert Kraft. Like, the people that should have the book thrown at him more is the guy that was actually the fixer, the one that was setting everything up.
Yep.
And he had a huge network going where he was intentionally leveraging his relationship.
He's turning over on all these people.
He's just flipping on them. So, how convenient.
That guy is the criminal.
Also, like the coaches and everyone else that were involved in it, that were actually taking the bribes.
Yes. The guy who was saying he worked on the crew chief
right.
for USC or whatever.
I'm not
it
nearly
may
as
be.
Mad about this as a lot of people are, but it's ridiculous that they're talking about just
know.
Throwing yeah. these celebrities in jail because they're the celebrities and the big names.
Because is too much.
Because you, again, I put myself in that situation. If given the opportunity.
If I have an extra $500,000 and I can pay somebody off to get my daughter into an Ivy League school that's going to set her up for life, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Better keep an eye on me, everybody. If I just have an extra half mil laying around,
Two
it's
years.
Happening.
You got an extra half mil just floating around?
Yeah, it turns out no. So
you hit, that, good, you hit that 20 out of 20 Keno spot.
There you go. Yeah. Finally hit Mega Millions.
Yeah,
look
out.
More than a billion people are expected to tune in to the final season of Game
did you,
of Thrones.
Wait, did you say a billion?
Billion people.
Billion.
Yep.
Huh.
So more than 100, more than 1 billion people in 170 different countries are expected to watch each episode in the final season. So they're saying a billion people for each episode.
Game of Thrones has been the most pirated show of all time across the world. So I'm not shocked that the numbers are as high as they are. But still, a billion people. I mean, that's like MASH level of...
It's nuts.
I mean, it's truly an international phenomenon. The fact that they hit all those thrones all across the world, that people were just going absolutely bonkers for
it. Yep.
Are you sad to see it come to an end?
Not really. Like, they've strung it out so much. I'm like, I just show me.
Because if they kept going, like, do you think the next season would
like
be like
in
2 years
from now? No,
years.
You get another season.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd like to see it keep going, but I know that you can't keep doing that because everyone can only die so many times, except for Jon Snow.
My biggest problem with Game of Thrones is I love the first, what is it, 4 or 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they were phenomenal when they were working off of the books.
Yeah.
But since they've just been working off the outline, the last 2 seasons, I know a lot of people love that it's just all action.
I do. Oh, yeah.
But I feel like you've lost a lot of the characters. I feel like, you know, Peter Dinklage, you know, his character was the best thing that we've seen on television in decades. And now it's just, he's a shadow of that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy to see it come to a close because
I'm just hoping
it's not the same show.
That he ends up getting the Iron Throne. That seems likely, right?
I feel like, yeah. Make that happen. Do it for the fans. Spoiler, everyone dies. Everyone.
Fred Durst is finally divorced.
He was married?
Well,
yeah, he was married.
I didn't know
again.
He was married either.
Well, I mean, it wasn't really a long-term thing.
When did he get married?
He got married to a girl just a couple of years ago. So they, you know, they've been together for 6 years in total, but
okay.
I think she's a makeup artist or something like
okay.
that, and
okay.
they ended up falling for each other.
He
well,
did it all for the nookie?
Yeah, he did. Here's what the divorce settlement
is. Now
she's
going to get the cookie?
Not really, actually.
What is
she
getting?
So he initially is going to have to pay her $7,400 per month in spousal support,
yeah,
which
still, that's not cheap.
That's a lot of money for like normal people, right?
I mean, yes, especially if your band's not quite touring
there.
Like they used to,
or making any money at all, like
or any
this
album.
That's $88,000 a year.
Yeah.
How long does that last?
Well,
for?
So that's only initially that he has to pay her that, and then in September it goes to $5,000 a month.
Well,
and finally it's $2,500 a month for the final payment. So if she gets remarried during that time, the payments stop. Additionally, he'll pay her a one-time lump sum of $26,000. She also gets a 2018 BMW X1. And Fred has to make the payments on that until February of 2021. Is for what Fred's walking away with. This is just so post Limp Bizkit. Like,
yeah.
This is just kind of like a normal divorce of a dentist. A 2014 Harley Davidson.
Hell yeah.
And he gets all of his music rights and residuals for Limp Bizkit. He also retains rights to several businesses he owns, including a couple of really good tattoo companies. He filed for divorce back in September of last year. The couple had been together, like I said, for six years.
I mean, if he would have lost the rights to Limp Bizkit songs.
I mean, do you like, want that?
He's like, I lost the hot dog flavored water divorce, man.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
But also, how ridiculous is it that would even be on the table, that they got married 6 years ago?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit was dead 6 years ago. Like, you could do it Zoom to Limp Bizkit and get the residuals from that, man. Come on.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Nothing brings you back down to reality faster than when you're trying to look really cool and you feel like you've got it and then you don't. Has there ever been a situation like that for you? You can text us at 73100 on social media at Dave Mahoney. David on Facebook said, I took my girlfriend, now wife, out of my boat. As I pulled up to the dock, she asked if there's anything else that she can do. Because docking a boat, unless you do it a lot, is more challenging than you think, right?
You need... If you doing it by yourself is really hard.
You need somebody up front to just hop off and get on the dock and pull it in with the rope. And then it's easy, right? Yeah. But if you're trying to do it by yourself, a little challenging. So she said, is there anything else I can do? And he said, quote, no, just sit there and look pretty. As I got close to the dock, I had to jump off the boat to keep the boat from crashing. As I jumped off, I struck the dock with my abdomen, bent myself in half, and made an ass out of myself. Oh. The ranger ran over to help as I pulled myself up, bruised my stomach, and I was urinating blood for a day or so. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, no.
Well, but here's the thing. If you're on a date with somebody and they still marry you after that, that's how you know.
She's a keeper.
That's true love.
Yeah.
Caleb said, try to get give a little help to a girl that I knew in high school after she'd gone through a rough patch. So I bought her a used car for $1,200, and I got her a job working for a resort. That week, I also found out that she had moved to San Francisco. And I never heard from her again.
Dang.
Dude.
You got played, so.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, so you're trying to look cool, maybe to impress somebody, and then all of a sudden things quickly went south, and you realized that was a mistake. Probably should have just played cool to start with. Marilyn joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up?
Okay, so long story short, try to make myself look really cool because I had a boyfriend at the time. I was about maybe 18. And these two guys were really into me. They had been friends for a long time. And I dared both of them to get my name tattooed on them. And I said, yeah, I'll break up with my boyfriend and I'll marry whoever gets my name tattooed. Yeah, so it's been about 10 years now. Still married to one of those guys. And I thought I was making myself look really cool because these two guys were into me, but I ended up making myself look like an ass because I cheated on my boyfriend.
But, I mean, if you married one of them for
it worked 10 out,
years,
right?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, 5 kids later.
Five kids later?
I guess it kind of worked out.
Maryland. Good Lord.
You guys need to settle down.
You know what? I don't
know what birth control is. So what happened about the other guy who got your name tattooed on him, though?
Yeah, he has three of the kids with her. Oh, you're the best.
That's
man.
Wild.
Thanks for the call today. We appreciate you.
All right.
See you later.
Guys.
All right. Pretty bad.
That's crazy.
Stacy said, yes, I added chicklin cutlets to a bra once, and I thought that I was going to look cool I bent over and they fell out of my shirt in front of several people.
Worst. Like, how did you get salmonella?
I was also told 21 shots for your 21st birthday is a bad idea. I don't remember my birthday at all.
That's a horrible, horrible idea. Yes.
So there was this kid that I went to school with, and, you know, it was during those really tender years of middle school and junior high and things like that, and I distinctly remember that, in gym class, you start by everyone sort of running laps in the gym, and he was one of the guys that was running with us. His name is Darren, and all of a sudden, he started running kind of weird where, like, his leg kind of went stiff or whatever, and you're like, what is going on with this guy? And he just starts doing this thing, and then all of a sudden, a large tube sock pops out the bottom of his pant leg. And I'm like,
God, no.
And I'm like, oh my God, Darren, no.
No.
And then somebody else noticed it and loudly goes, oh my God, did you stuff your pants?
Oh no.
And Darren just started crying.
Oh buddy. God.
Also, man, like that's just false advertising. You don't want to set yourself up like that.
No, man. Better to under promise and over deliver.
Exactly.
On something along those lines.
Yep.
Oh my God. For me, again, high school, this one not nearly as I would say as traumatic as poor Darren
right there.
You know, you grew up in a rural area as well, South Carolina, Minnesota, Missouri for me. So one of the, the way you would get away from your parents and kind of like have like some like, you know, no adults and no authority figures is you would go camping out in the woods or down near the river.
Yeah. And there was an island on the lake that I lived on, and that was like the spot. We'd just go camping right there on the island, and that was like, you felt so free.
Yeah, anything could happen down there. And we went down camping with some girlfriends of ours. And
you were allowed to take girls?
Well, not allowed. Parents didn't know.
What about the girls' parents? Like they
said they were going to, like, we're going to state down at, like, Mizzou or something along those lines to go watch watch our, to support our school or something. You know, it was always like back then you couldn't like just Google if that was actually going on or not. You
Meanwhile, she's in a tent with Mahoney, just heavy petting.
There was no action for me.
No. You were the one that had to stand outside
myself.
You had to stand outside of the tent and keep watch for all your friends. Aww. Oh, buddy.
But, so we go camping, and there's two cars, and we're in a Jeep, and they're in a, I don't know, like a Saturn or something along
because
the
way. Because that's
every
girl chick
in high school
had
in the
had
90s
a Saturn, yes.
Always had a Saturn.
By the way, is Saturn a totally dead car company
now? Yeah,
it's
been dead for about 10 years. Wow. Maybe longer.
All right.
That kind of sucks.
But one of those three-door Saturns.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But it rained that night, and the Saturn wasn't parked on like solid ground, so it ended up sinking into the mud.
No.
We being the guys that we are, like, oh, we got this. We'll handle this.
Easy.
No problem.
Got a Jeep?
Ladies.
Back up.
We got you. Here, and end up getting the Jeep stuck in the mud.
Up.
Also trying to get them out.
Oops.
Have to call one of our dads or one of our friends' dads to come out and get us towed out of there because we were stuck. All of us. But, like, we could have just drove away. We could have been good. But
you can't leave the chicks and their Saturn out in the middle of the
you
woods.
You made a choice to come out here in the woods.
Oh,
think
now
for
it's
yourself.
On
that's
oh,
what you get for not making out with me.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
We could have got off scot-free. Meanwhile.
Big trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
One time I went camping and one of the dads showed up.
Oh,
and
God.
We found all of our porn magazines that we had because somebody brought a stash of porn magazines.
He's like, I'm taking these.
He did take them, and I know he didn't, like, dispose of them properly. I know what you're doing with those, Jim.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Yeah, you're trying to look cool, and then all of a sudden you just weren't because something happened. David said, I was a single dad, hot single mom I just met. We were at a kid's birthday party, and they were playing ladder ball. Two balls tied up with a string that you toss up a PVC ladder. Kid throws one up at the top of the sapling tree. The ultra cool guy that I was shimmies up this spindling poor excuse for a tree and reach for a branch that breaks.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I fall six feet straight down onto my back, knock the wind out of myself, and jump up pretending to be cool, unable to breathe. Never saw her again. Dang.
I mean, you're lucky. A 6 foot fall onto your back.
Could have been much worse.
It could have been a lot worse.
Oof. This one from our friend Lindsay over at the firm, this one gets me. It doesn't matter who you are.
Oh, yeah.
But when you wave to someone that you think is waving at you, but they were really waving at somebody else, you feel super uncool.
Yeah, especially when you're like enthusiastically, you're like,
yes.
Hey!
Oh, like my head itches.
My
head itches. Or like when you think they're talking to you, when they say like, hey, what's going on? You're like, oh, hi.
You're like, hey.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Never mind.
I could top that one. Well, maybe not top it, but something very similar. Some guy I thought was going in for a handshake.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I was like, oh, I guess we're shaking hands now.
Do you just double down and just keep walking right past him and just shake whoever hand is behind him?
Well, I was eating breakfast, and so I thought it was weird that he was like going in for like a handshake.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just a very awkward. But I will say this. He thought he was looking cool. You know, I hate when you're getting breakfast or you're eating dinner somewhere.
Yeah.
And the waiter does not write it down.
Oh, yeah.
They don't write it down.
That's risky.
As a former waiter, I can tell you that I used to do that
down.
To think that I look cool. And then when I would forget something, you'd have to do the walk of shame back over the table and be like, did he say you wanted curly fries or regular fries?
Not only did he forget something, also left something out. I'm like, dude.
Can't do it, man.
Dude, get a notepad.
This one got texted over to us at 73100. So many embarrassing moments. I once took a picture of three friends on the back of an old pickup truck after a day of riding ATVs in New Mexico. After the picture was done, I slide off the side of the bed and my pants get caught on a hook. Not only did my pants rip open, exposing all of my ass, but I landed on a fire ant hill.
Oh, my God.
Ass and back first. It was all caught on tape and posted back on MySpace. Oh, man.
Thank God MySpace went belly up and they lost
everything.
All that content. Or even worse, it's still up there. You guys ever try to stumble across your old MySpace page?
Nah, I deleted mine, man. A long time ago.
I tried.
King douche you were.
You're a king douche.
this one, when you're younger, you probably don't know better, but cruising down the road, I was skateboarding and I was about 9 years old. This one on Twitter for us. Swan said, trying to impress a girl by jumping off my big wheel and landing on a piece of particle board that I was going to surf down the street. I broke my arm, and she laughed at me.
That has just brought... I haven't thought about this in many years. I was in first grade. So, like, what, nine years old? Eight, 9 years old? Something, yeah. Somewhere along those?
For, wait, first grade would be like six or seven. Right?
I was held back.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Why you gotta break that up, man?
Oh, we didn't know that.
I'm real sorry.
Oh, this is
you're like,
is
so
new.
I was 14 in second grade.
Like, that's six or seven.
I lived in a giant cul-de-sac back in St. Louis. And by that, I mean, there was like 100 houses, but there was only one way in and one way out, and it was a big loop. And there was a big hill going down one, and there was this girl I liked who lived on the other side of the street. So me and my friends would ride our bikes around this thing, you know, just to like, kind of like, if you were hanging out around the house, it would be weird. But if you're just like riding your bike by to see them, you know, that seems like a normal kid thing to do.
Yeah.
So we were trying to be cool, and we were racing our, I had a Diamondback, a lime green Diamondback that I was racing around there, and I had no shirt on, and in biker shorts, because those were really popular in 1989, and we're going down this
sex
hill.
Machine just cruising by.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bowl haircut that my mom gave me.
Hell yeah.
Look at just
the line's not straight.
Yeah.
It's all crooked.
And so I'm riding down that street as fast as I can and like ride past her house without my hands on the handlebars.
Because, of course,
how cool,
you got to show her hello potential mate over
what
here.
What up, girls? What up, ladies? Look at me. You what skill you want in a potential mate? A guy who has balance.
That's right. And a lime green bike.
And as we're getting ready to like go around the corner, just eat it. Hit sand and it's asphalt. Go
the
head
sand
over
on the asphalt.
Head over heels, chin, and just like sliding into home plate face first across the asphalt. I've showed you the picture, but just ripped my chin open.
That's another picture.
Had to go get stitches. Thought I was crying unconsolably. My friend left me. The son of a bitch just rode off. I'm dead.
He's dead. I can't help him. I'm out of here, man.
I can't revive him.
I'm gonna go console the chicks who are crying over here.
I just got my bike back and like for Christmas that year, so I'm like pushing my bike. That's like the most important thing. Like thinking I'm dying. I finally get home and my mom's freaks out, obviously, because, you know, her child is bleeding.
Pretty banged up. Yeah.
Chin's hanging off and that sort of thing. But I just remember crying profusely, like, in the back of my dad's Volvo.
When you can't get your breath because you're crying.
I'm going to die. All the way to the ER.
He's like, shut up, kid. It's fine. It's a road rash. And finally, Robin said, way back when Risky Business came out, I thought I would try to slide across a wet floor at work, and I fell on my ass. I was the assistant manager, and I was wearing a dress. Proud moments.
Oh. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's the Super STUPID Spelling Bee.
Q-R-S-Z-3-4.
James is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. So you choose who is playing on your behalf today, myself, Mahoney, or Sylvia. Sylvia, did you win last week?
I think I did. You guys made fun of me for spelling vacuum.
Okay. Ian, do you recall who won last week?
Of course I do. Sylvia did spell a word correctly, but she actually gave her last word over to the listener who spelled it correctly and won the game for her.
Okay. Get this over with.
Jesus.
We just got into this.
Can we just get this over with?
All right, so James, you get to play who's playing on your behalf, but you also get to tag in for one word if necessary today during the competition. So who do you want to play for you?
I'm going to go with Sylvia.
So long. Okay, let's go.
Anyway.
Sylvia, you get to go first.
Sylvia, going first, your word is cockatiel.
What?
Cockatiel.
Can you use it in a sentence?
The cockatiel sung a wonderful song to me this morning.
Oh, I thought that was just a perverted color.
Oh. Sylvia, cockatiel.
C-O-C-K.
We knew you'd get that right.
A-T-I-E-L.
Sylvia, that is correct. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Is cockatiel? I thought it was cockatoo.
No, there's two different birds?
Yeah.
Cockatoos are much bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
Cockatiels are the small ones.
Get your cockatoos right, Dave.
Cockatoos are
I always get the big bees.
That's why they call it a cockatoo.
Yeah. Oh, look out.
Hi-yo!
Oh, whoa.
My mom raised birds when I was a kid.
All right, Mahoney, you get to go second.
Mahoney, I got to go second.
Mahoney, your word is crochet. Crochet.
Jesus.
These words.
Crochet.
Crochet.
Just see him giving up.
Come on, man.
Man, I don't.
Oh, come, really?
What come are you doing?
There's like an X in there, isn't there?
An X. No, that's xylophone you're thinking of.
There's crochet?
Yeah. Crochet. X. What?
C-R-O-W-C-H-E-T.
Oh, no, that is horrible.
Whoa, that was way off.
It's like crotchet.
Yeah, just crotchet. Thank you, Sylvia.
What?
C-R-O-C-H-E-T.
First the cockatiel and now the crotchet. And Sylvia's crotchet. On fire today.
This game is so stupid.
Mahoney, just out get it wrong, after Dave. Crochet. Dave, your word is croquet.
C-R-O-Q-U-E-T.
That is correct. All right. Moving on to round two. Sylvia, your word, pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
Can the dude on the phone jump in?
You do have James.
James, do you want to tag in on pneumonia?
Yeah. Okay. Let me try. Okay. Pneumonia. Oh, no. P-N... No.
No.
I don't trust you.
That's wrong.
U-M-O-N-I-A.
That is so correct.
Is it? Oh, my gosh.
What? P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A. That is correct.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shut up, James. Don't act like you accomplished something over here.
James.
Hey, Dave, Dave, your word is archaeology. Archaeology.
Ah, man, it always messes me up with the A and the E in there, but A-R-C-H-A-E-L-O-G-Y.
No.
Dave, I believe you spelled it correct.
Yeah.
I believe you did actually spell that correct.
Thank
I was trying to remember.
Suck it, Mahoney.
A-R-C-H-A-E-O-L-O-G-Y.
Yeah, there
that
you go.
Correct.
I don't think
that's correct. What he said. I believe
that is what he said, but he really,
you're supposed to be listening
He skipped
there.
Over that last. Oh, really quick. Sylvia, your
yeah.
word.
Yeah, he skipped over it because he didn't spell the word right. This
said,
game should be over.
He said it very quick. Sylvia, your word is entrepreneur. Entrepreneur.
James, do you want to take that one?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Oh, whoa.
E-N-T-R-E-P-R-E-N-E-U-R.
Wow. Holy cow.
Wow.
That's
pretty good.
So correct.
All right. So we don't continue to string this thing out. James.
You guys are on fire.
Give James a word. If he spells it correctly, then James wins.
He's already won. Just give it to him.
No, I didn't.
You just don't want to spell another word.
Hey, all right.
Just spell your word
wrong. You didn't spell any words right.
Should I give James amateur or chandelier?
Amateur.
James, spell amateur.
Spell amateur.
A-M-A-T-U-R-E.
God!
Yeah!
No!
That is so wrong!
God dang
it!
That is so wrong! Just give him the tickets! Oh my god!
Sucks. So bad! A-M-A-T-E-U-R, sir.
Just give it to him.
Just give it.
We can't. He just
Sylvia
lost.
Sylvia won. What do you mean? You changed the rules again.
I didn't change the rules.
Yes, you did.
I was trying to shorten it up because you were complaining about how long the game was.
You could have just taken another word and spelled it wrong.
Well, I wouldn't intentionally throw it because I have more respect for this radio show and the rules of this game than that, okay? We'll just give you the tickets. Whatever. Man. Who cares?
KXTEFM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, don'tbebroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative. X1075.
Is that song Victorious? That was for you and I, Sylvia.
And you didn't spell your last word right.
No, I don't want to. No.
And you too, Ian.
I'm not.
She spelled three words.
I'm not sharing.
You spelled two.
No, I'm not sharing.
I got every
that's
word
right,
wrong that was
given
to me.
I spelled three words right.
Yeah, because I wanted the game to end.
Yeah,
it's not stories. Here's what's making news. What's the matter? That's a gym boy.
So, new data has revealed that you are more likely to cheat if, and here's the rundown of what the criteria is. Nearly three quarters, 74% of Americans believe it's always wrong to have relations outside of marriage. But that leaves 26% who think it's rarely, sometimes, or always acceptable to stray outside
always.
Of marriage. Always acceptable.
Okay.
But I mean, you think about it, like 26% of people think that it's perfectly okay to sometimes, rarely, or always stray. That's a pretty significant chunk
really?
Of people, right?
Yeah.
Here's how it breaks out. They say that you are more likely to cheat if you are educated. And if you do well, meaning that if you
that.
Have money and you have a college degree or higher, you are much more likely to consider cheating to be acceptable.
to be acceptable or willing to do it. I would think willing to do it, because if you have your own means to support yourself. And
it's like we always talk about why celebrities get divorced at such a high rate.
Yeah,
it's
they
because
don't care.
Their
They're
life needing. Is just constantly a party. They don't need anything from the other person. They can find it from somebody else in the snap of a finger.
Yeah. And a divorce doesn't really, you know, cost you anything
them.
Unless you're Jeff Bezos. And in that case, it's like $32 billion.
Or Fred Durst, in which case your sweet ass 2018 BMW X1.
But he kept
just
his music.
It.
And that 2014 Harley, Dave. So those are the only factors that lead to that? Or are there any others?
Yeah, I mean, so those are the big ones. Specifically, it's Democrats, white people, and rich people are the most...
Really?
Yeah, are the most willing to do it.
Okay.
Just 15% of married women are said to at least be willing to admit that they've had an extramarital affair. 25% of married men have cheated on their spouse and been willing to admit it, according to the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy.
Okay.
Those numbers rise by about 20 points when emotional and sexual relationships without adult relations are factored in. So if you're in a relationship where you're not getting it from your significant other, those go up by 20 points. So all of a sudden, it's 35% of women and 45% of guys. Southerners are the least likely to believe it's acceptable, while Americans living in the Northeast have the most lax ideas of extramarital affairs.
Okay.
Speaking of adult relations, 1 in 10 Japanese adults in their 30s are virgins.
No.
1
really?
In 10.
In their 30s?
In their 30s.
10%
so
of the population.
We talked about this for really about 10 years now, right?
Yep.
That it was an alarming number of people that were in their 20s, and you know, even in their late teens, early 20s, and everyone was going, well, maybe they're just waiting a little longer. Now, here we are. That same group of people are now in their 30s.
And they're still
and have
virgins.
Never, ever done it with anyone before. And that's 1 in 10.
That's wild. I mean, the birth rate in Japan has plummeted in recent years. As you see, like, more educated societies and more well-off societies, the birth rate does continue to drop, but the fact that there is 1 in 10 people in Japan in their 30s who have never had relations in their life is, I mean, it's a culture that's based around work too, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
maybe there's just no time for it.
Man, what are you working for if you're not, like...
That's why we talk about that all the time.
That's why we're working. That's all the only reason that, like, we try to be successful as men.
Like this, the head of Warner Brothers... studios in Los Angeles, he gets ousted because he has a totally consensual affair with some woman.
That wasn't even an affair. It was his girlfriend.
Just like they had a relationship.
Yeah.
And she's like 20 years younger than him. And so he gets pushed out and you're like, that's the whole point of becoming rich and powerful. So you, like, 20
can
girls
like
that
entice.
Are 20 years younger
you
than
don't
you.
Don't use people. It against people who are, you don't do that for people who are, you don't do it in a way that you're abusing that power. But there are plenty of people who are attracted to success.
Yeah, you're like trying to entice them.
That's wild, man.
It is. Wow. So down in Texas, there was a... I mean, of course, this happened at Prairie View A&M University in Texas. There was a bunch of students that are out partying in a rural area.
Okay.
And did you ever do that in college?
Like
party
you in a cornfield?
You party in
the
cornfield,
woods.
Party in the woods, something like that. Well, they were doing that, except for this time there was a bunch of rogue bulls that they came across.
Oh, no.
Which,
boy.
Luckily, nobody at the party was injured, but everyone was pretty freaked out when there was a bunch of bulls that were chasing the partygoers around.
Yeah. If you, you know, I mean, if you've watched, like, PBR, the professional bull riders, like, you see the kind of damage a 1,200-pound, pure-muscled animal can do.
To be fair, they do have those animals' balls tied into a rope. Like, you know that's why the bulls are so angry, right?
Yes.
Is because they tie their nuts up. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Like, get
some people
off
pay
me.
For that.
I saw that episode of Billions.
Uh-huh.
And finally, it was a Saturday morning when families were gathered at a moist baseball field in... Ooh. Why do they have to call it a moist baseball field?
Wet.
Why were families gathered at a moist field?
Well, because...
Is that the name of it? Is it moist, called Moist Field?
No, it's at Ridgefield High School. It had rained the night before, and somebody thought, well, how do we get rid of all of this moisture on the field?
Moistness.
Moist Memorial Park.
And one of the videos that was shot by a teacher showed the moment that somebody had the bright idea of taking 24 gallons of gasoline and pouring it on the infield to set it on fire. Authorities were...
To dry up the moisture?
Yes.
How did that work out?
It didn't. Police haven't said whether or not anyone's actually facing charges yet, but they did say that in hindsight, it was a, quote, poor decision to try to light the baseball field on fire in order to remove the moisture.
We're not sure it's an active investigation of who instructed, if anybody instructed.
I'd like to see somebody pay for it rather than me.
Neighbors are wondering why it happened in the first place.
By now, everybody knows you don't pour gasoline in the soil. Or you think that everybody knows that.
I get it to a certain degree, but I think at the end of the day, the decision was not well thought out.
No, you don't get it, man. You can't pour gasoline to remove moisture because you're pouring more moisture onto it, and the fire is... Oh, God.
It's moisture on top of moisture.
I get it to a degree, Dave.
God, you guys.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Who is that poor guy who's like, I just want somebody to pay for it other than me? Was he like the Parks and Rec guy?
It was just a taxpayer.
Was that?
Yes. That's Jerry. He lives down the road.
Anyone but me, man. God, I hate these people.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Sylvia. Mary F. Kill, Shaggy T. Dope, Scott Staff, or Fred Durst?
Message deleted.
Who was the first one?
Shaggy T. Dope from ICP.
Oh, okay. Shaggy Too Dope, Scott Stapp, Fred Durst.
What does Shaggy Too Dope look like?
Awful.
Okay. Kill him.
Okay. Right. All right.
And then Scott Stapp and then Fred Durst?
Yeah.
I would F Scott Stapp.
Yeah, you would.
Would you?
Yeah, you would.
Because, like, you just... Yeah, no, definitely cannot.
Yeah. Will you marry Fred Durst? You're just trying to get a 2018 BMW X1
maybe.
Out of this. Trying to get some of that hot dog flavored Scott water Stapp residual.
He's back on the market, Dave.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You
Scott
think Limp Bizkit's poised for a resurgence?
No.
Are they even touring?
No. Why would they tour?
They do a lot of European festivals now. Yes.
Okay.
So they I wouldn't say tour, but they make appearances.
Does Europe have the internet?
Unfortunately.
They have the internet, right?
I think they do.
Like, how are they?
They're all into that new
100 years behind.
Man, they still love that Nookie, man.
Yeah, dude. That
but I mean,
metal.
Like David Hasselhoff is still a star in Germany. Like, you guys,
have you not heard him sing? He's amazing.
I think he's gonna do a metal album.
I feel like we have overlooked David Hasselhoff's fantastic musical abilities here in the good old United States of America.
Of course, you would say that, you German Mark.
Whatever.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If you had to pick between the two, would you one? Stand with no ropes on the edge of the world's tallest building, or two, be dropped and forced to swim to the point where the ocean is the deepest. Remember, there's no sharks on top of buildings.
Message deleted.
Yeah, of course.
You're dead either way.
Yeah, because the pressure of the ocean, and then...
You would probably just get blown off the top of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just, I guess...
I could see I what's
guess
going
die
on.
That which, way than, like, drowning.
Which death is worse, or... Better, I should say.
I mean, falling to your death
is awful.
Terrible. Drowning.
Well, I feel like you might get like a heart attack while you're falling that far off.
No, that's what you want to tell yourself.
And I mean, even like, if you falling is up there. Drowning is like the only thing that's worse than that is being burned to death, right?
Yeah, like falling into a volcano off a skyscraper.
Knowing that the burning is coming.
Yes.
Even for a very short amount of time. This is just, this is the worst.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I've heard you all talk about playing sports back in the day. Did any of you have a game or event where it all came down to you, but you either came through or disappointed everyone? I mean, maybe you missed the last shot of the game or anything like that?
Message deleted.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
Watching the Final Four, the national championship, like that kid from Virginia that was just out there draining the free throws when literally all eyes are on him. Mm-hmm. It's nutty, man.
I couldn't do
one that.
Year,
that pressure, I can't imagine it.
One year we were playing hockey and our goalie got injured like halfway through the season, so I had to play goal for the, you know, we were like the number one team. We had a good goalie and we made it all the way to the championship, and then I just...
And you had to sub in as goalie?
Well, I was subbing up until that point as goalie up until the championship, and then the championship game comes and I like let like 8 goals in that day and just completely lost the...
It's
championship
okay.
For us.
When I was playing basketball, when I was in elementary school, like they gave me the ball and I was like, oh God, I'm so excited. And then I went to the opposing team's basket.
You did not.
You scored on
you
your
were
own
that
basket.
Chick? You scored on yourself?
I
just
it.
Like now.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
It was a great time.
It's easier that way, Dave.
Right? Don't have to cuddle afterwards. My feet
go boom. It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So good news, Russia. You're so progressive. They have reinstated yoga for inmates at prisons in Russia after a religious scholar came out and said, doing yoga does not mean that you're in fact going to become gay.
Oh, well.
Because those downward dog poses.
I mean, I guess if you're going to get a peek at what's up, that would be the time to do it. But, I mean, being in prison will just turn you gay a lot of times.
No,
because there's no other options.
Not, there's no such thing as turning someone gay.
No.
You are born how you are.
No.
And you just decide to act on primal urges.
Right. You do things that you wouldn't do when there's literally zero women around.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Whatever, man. Like, who cares? Like, Russia's such a backwards-ass country. And the fact that they think homosexuality is a sin and they lock people who are up. It's unbelievable that that exists in the world today, man. It's just...
Yeah, one of the religious prophets went on a radio station over there and said that in addition to yoga, prisoners will also be taught breathing exercises because those also will not turn you gay. Cool.
We can all agree, no matter what your sexuality is, if you attend a yoga class, it makes you horny.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, that's just us. That's just us.
That's why I don't attend yoga class.
That's just us in the back.
I just thought like it would make you like gassy or whatever.
No,
it makes you gassy.
Yeah,
though. Just
because you're like moving and you're moving.
You
see, this is why it doesn't turn Sylvia on because it's dudes like us.
That's why we don't. Yeah.
I don't know. Like this is why I've done yoga before. I've never gotten like frisky.
No, you go to a yoga class and it's full of nothing but
good-looking people in like next to nothing.
Oh, okay.
In sweaty positions, being
like,
slow and attractive. You know, like if you're doing a high intensity interval training. There's nothing sexy about that because you're just like running around like a madman or woman. In the case of yoga, though,
but you can focus on the person in front of you.
Well, not that you can. It's like you are kind of forced to.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not allowed to go to yoga classes anymore.
Okay.
We are not.
Yeah.
Unless we stay in the very front, but we don't want to do that to everybody behind us.
No, because you guys are going to get gassy.
Then you're staring down that barrel of a gun.
It's more like the Lincoln Tunnel, but whatever.
Oh, God.
So a Nigerian billionaire who's known as Africa's richest man was at a forum on the Ivory Coast this weekend, and he told the group there that he once took out $10 million in cash out of the bank just to look at it.
What?
I feel like this is one of these scams? And he's like, and now that I have this $10 million out, I would like to give it to you. All you have to do is send me $300 first.
So that's how it happened.
Yeah.
We're related. You're my cousin from another mother.
He's like, I'm dying a death, and I just want to give my fortune away. He's a manufacturing tycoon with a range of companies spanning from cement to flour. He said, one day I cashed $10 million, put them in the trunk of my car, and then I put it in my room. I looked at it, and I thought, now I believe I have money. And then took it back to the bank the next day.
Did this guy get cash out $10 million in singles?
Yeah. Like, what? Why would you do that?
Like, are you planning on going to the club?
Yeah. I don't know why you brag about that. It seems like in a room full of people that do not have $10 million, that's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of Beetlejuice, they were talking about doing a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
No more. It's been shelved. Not going
to
happen.
I think this is a good thing. Beetlejuice did not need a sequel. It's just kind of one of those movies that stood
on its own for
the last 30 years. And a sequel 30 years after the fact just feels like a money grab. Same thing with Dumb and Dumber.
That was a terrible idea.
You didn't need a Dumb and Dumber 2 or a Dumb and Dumber or whatever they called it. It just feels disingenuous and like, oh, let's find a way to make a lot of money for the producers and actors real quick.
If you asked me what my favorite comedy was probably of all time, I would say Dumb and Dumber. As far as like movies that I saw when I was young that... Yeah, you know, like there's constant lines, you know, that you joke around with your brothers about, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Never saw the second Dumb and Dumber.
Why would you?
Not the bootleg one or the one with.
Why would you ruin something something so close and so dear? Very few movies. I can only think of maybe one or two right off the top of my head that actually have gotten better over time, and that's Mission Impossible.
Okay,
like Mission Impossible 1, 2, and 3 are all below 70% fresh. Mission Impossible like 4 through 7 or 4 through 6 are all like 95+ percent.
And I feel like that's because the way that CGI has gone too. Like you can do a lot more.
But they don't really use CGI in a whole lot of CGI in the Mission Impossible movies. And I feel like that's what kind of gives it a good take.
There's a decent amount of I'm falling out of a helicopter or an airplane.
But Tom Cruise does that.
He's not really hanging out of an airplane.
He's got a rope. That shot where they take off at the beginning of, I think, four.
Yeah, but
he was hanging on to an airplane doing that.
Yeah, but not like over the Alps or wherever the hell it was. I mean,
he held on to an airplane and they took off in that airplane. Tom Cruise, weirdo, creep, all of that. Hell of an action actor.
Cannot disagree. If you want to keep best movie runner of all time, if you want to keep your memory sharp in older age, they're saying eating raw garlic would be the way to do that.
I'm into that. I like raw garlic.
Do you eat raw garlic?
Not like on a regular basis, but I like it in stuff.
U.S. scientists found the compound could restore trillions of microorganisms in the intestine, and the team tested the theory on 24-year-old mice, the age which correlates to human ages between 56 and 69 years old, and they actually found positive results for the memory. And so people specifically that are suffering from Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, this could be a way to help to reverse some of those effects.
You know, I hope that they can find a cure for those, you know, those are two of the worst diseases that you could possibly.
And cancer.
Yeah. I mean, you just lose, like with Alzheimer's, you just lose yourself, man. Yeah. If anybody That's who's, sad. You know, who's dealt with that, it's the worst thing. And garlic, great. I feel like if that's the cure to everything, keeps vampires away and cures some brain stuff.
Makes you have horrible breath, but whatever. No one's kissing you anyhow. It's fine, whatever.
Why? And also, how did the myth of garlic keeping vampires, how did they come up with
vampires will latch onto your neck and suck all of your blood out of your body unless you have garlic.
They can be cut in half, but you can't eat some guacamole with garlic.
You can't have any breadsticks at Olive Garden. Yeah.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
That's when you go, I choose death.
Yeah. I want to be mortal.
I need my breadsticks.
Dave and Mahoney.
UNLVino is going to be here in town this weekend. Get some free tickets if you were the first person with the correct answer to this question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
How many pumps of your cologne do you use?
Traditionally four.
I hold it over my...
Oh, you do?
Do each side of the neck, chest.
Okay.
All right, so...
If you're not making sure all the important areas are covered, then you're just doing it wrong.
So Mahoney talked about specifically where he likes to spray his cologne each day. And he said that he does more than the four that I would do. You normally go with six, right?
Between five and six.
Between five and six. And Ian, you go for a full six every time?
Oh, always a full
Maybe
six.
Maybe I'm underdoing it.
I feel like it depends on the type of cologne, too. Because
it's too strong.
I have certain cologne that I only need two.
Do you have the good cologne?
I do have. I have the Creed. When we were living down in Houston, and Lance McCullers, who just smelled like
So
heaven.
Lance McCullers is this extremely handsome pitcher for the Houston Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mahoney was attracted to him.
Well, he would come to the studio once a week.
He thought it was because of how he smelled, not because he was young and rich and handsome and really good at what he did.
No, every time he came into the studio,
also smell good.
There'd be a waft of like just a man.
And so
that came in.
Mahoney, not realizing that he is not a multi-million-dollar baseball player, went out and sprung for the $1,000 cologne or whatever.
Was it $1,000?
It was like $500.
That's still a lot of money for a cologne, man.
That's
a lot of money,
man.
They were overpaying us down there. I don't have any of that money left. I still have half that bottle left.
I don't know why. Do you really? Good for you. All right. But Mahoney specifically likes to spray his cologne on this part of his body, and it's a little strange, but you know, whatever. If you can figure it out, tickets to UNLVino, which again is happening on Saturday over at the Mirage Event Center. If you've never been to it before, food and wine enthusiasts love it. There's a premier selection of wine, spirits, craft beer, and other beverages, as well as exceptional entertainment, and they have prestigious restaurants and chefs from throughout Las Vegas that are out there, and they're giving you a chance to taste their food. So again, 702-791-1075 is the phone number. First person with the correct answer.
Don't act like you didn't like the smell of Lance McCullers. Don't act like I'm the only one. Everybody in there was.
I didn't have an extra $500. Okay,
I think it was $400. I'm looking at Nordstrom right now. It's
so
like $400.
Much,
it's like $400.
X107.5. Good morning. What is your name?
Good morning. This is Lori.
Lori, correct answer. Mahoney likes to spray his cologne where?
On his back.
On his back is right. Yeah, that's right.
Specifically the back of my head.
Oh, not like your back.
No, like over my head. Oh,
okay.
The back of the neck. Yeah.
Shoulder area.
It'd be kind of weird if he sprayed his whole back. He's like, hey, baby, will you get me down a few times?
Would you pss me?
Lori, is it very important to you how the back of a man's neck smells?
You know what?
I could think of other areas I'd rather smell better, but
yeah. Lori, all of me smells wonderful.
Right.
Covering it all.
Yeah. Hand me the gold bonds, baby. Got to freshen up.
Do you even need cologne? Probably not.
You just got iced, man.
I didn't even hear what she said.
She said the fact that you even need cologne, probably not.
Oh, yeah, because my natural musk is...
Exactly.
Pretty amazing,
that's
you know.
Where I was going.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, I just, I
that's
smell
that,
like
that's
man.
That's not what she's saying. She's,
yeah,
saying,
that's what
she's saying. You stink,
she's
man.
Saying, no, she's saying
you
I'm.
Stink.
Women are
stinky
wildly attracted to me.
Your
and
ass
men.
Stinks.
Wild animals are attracted to me. Insects. Amphibians. All of them.
Dogs.
They all want to bang me.
Feral cats are clawing at the window right now.
That's right.
It's amazing.
I'm in heat.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X 107.5.